It's good to see everyone this morning. Missed you guys last week, but I hadn't seen my son since December, so me and the family went and watched him in his spring game and everything else. And him and another lineman made a video for you guys that I'm going to edit. I'm going to bring it to you, and it's something that's really, really unique. They know who you are. That university knows who you are, and they know that, man, we fight every day to get better, amen? Just like they do. And so just know that, man, you got some D1 collegiate athletes that are playing for you, and that's a beautiful thing. And I wish I could tell you I pushed him to do that. That was all him. And it's good stuff, man. As we get started today, I want to talk about some of the prophets in Scripture. There, you have your minor prophets they talk about, and then you have your major ones. Your major prophets are ones that you may have heard of, Daniel, Jeremiah, and even Samuel. And there's one named Isaiah. And Isaiah, what he has written before the time of Jesus, was spoken at the time of Jesus, many years after it was written. And it's really neat to follow Isaiah, because we can learn a lot from him. But before we go into Isaiah, we're going to be in chapter 6. I really want to go over that scripture focus that Pastor Allen read. John chapter 12, starting in 37, says, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. So my question to you today is, do you believe in Jesus? And before you, yeah, we're in church, so everybody says yes. Before you say that, just know that we're going to dissect what it means to believe. Right? For instance, belief, true belief, is something that you know without having to test it. You just know it as fact. You don't even have to think about it. You just believe it. For instance, the chair you're sitting in today. You did not come in today and check the chair. You didn't pick it up, make sure the legs are strong enough. You didn't, make sure the angle was correct. No, you came in with your donut and your coffee and you plopped on it. Right? Can I get an amen? We did. It's because you knew right then, this chair is going to hold me. You didn't have to think about it. The only time we actually think about it is if we see somebody sitting in a chair and they fall. Then we laugh. Right? We laugh first. And then we check our chair. Faith is to be like that. Belief is to be like that. That you believe even without fact. I believe. I believe without having the answers. And that's why I question, do you believe in Jesus? Because there's been many times in my life being raised in the church that I agreed with Jesus, but I didn't believe him. Agreement is saying, yeah, I can see it that way. Belief is saying, that is my way. That's right. And I'm going to live it. And many of us in this room, we can all attest that we've met someone who declared themselves a person of God, but actually didn't act like it. So my question is, where's the belief? Well, Pastor, I would have done the right thing, but you didn't know what they did to me. Then you don't believe. Let me even go a little bit further. Here's something that is common that each one of us can relate to. More than likely, we've all have lost a loved one. And it hurts. Can I get an amen? Belief is not ignoring your sorrow. When we lose somebody, we hurt. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now in that, don't look at that as a failure. See, sometimes people say, well, if you'd believe in Jesus, then it wouldn't hurt. In fact, if you truly believed in Jesus, you would never hit a yellow and red light again. You'll always find a parking place in the name of God. You will always find those items you need on sale. Praise his name. But it doesn't work like that. In fact, Jesus even spoke of, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. What we want Jesus to say is that he's overcome your issue. And you don't have to suffer through it. In fact, tomorrow is the 15th. It's the end of tax season, and we know how much everybody admires and loves the IRS. Imagine if you wrote a letter to the IRS and said, I don't have to pay Because I am a child of God. There's truth in the fact that you're a child of God. Reality comes into, it doesn't matter if I have to pay, let me pay. Some of us in this room are like, no, I like the IRS because I get a refund every year. Right? But we come to this situation to where we go, if God truly loves me, I'll believe him as long as it suits me. That's not belief. That's fair weather Christianity. And if you're a fair weather Christian, you will never experience the joy of God. You'll never experience peace of God. You may experience peace temporarily because things are going your way. You may experience joy temporarily because things are going your way. But have you ever met someone that everything is going against them and yet they still praise the Lord? They have sorrow, but they still praise the Lord. It's because they believe in who Jesus is. So once again, the question, do we believe in Jesus? Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, we learn about Isaiah getting his calling from God. And let me explain this to you. This is right after the king named Uzziah has died. Now let me explain to you a little bit about King Uzziah. He was the king of Israel, but he was more of a people person. And he didn't follow the decrees of God. He started compromising things, right? Like if everybody agreed on it, then it must be God. That's very dangerous. And he started worshiping other gods. And pretty soon Israel as an entire people had forgotten about God. Except Isaiah. Isaiah is all about God. He believes God. He is not a very popular person. And God calls him at this time, right after King Uzziah dies. And here we read in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. If you don't know what seraphim is, those are angelic beings. Do not think of babies with bows and arrows. These are angelic beings, and it even goes further. Each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face. With two they covered their feet. And with the other two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is full of his glory." Listen to this part. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah cried out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim, one of the angelic beings, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, this is important, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." Then God said to him, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Let's stop right there. This is a calling of Isaiah, a great prophet. And if you read this scripture, you kind of get excited and then you get really depressed. Let me explain this to you. First of all, the world that Isaiah lives in is in turmoil. Nothing makes sense. Everybody's doing their own thing and they call themselves godly. Kind of mimics maybe where we are today, right? Turmoil, identity issues, all of these different things. Next thing you know, he sees the Lord. And look at the description of the Lord. I love this. He's seated on a throne and his robe fills the entire temple. He is majestic. He is a presence. A lot of people say, oh, but Pastor, I just wish that God would come and talk to me. No, you don't. You're going to freak out and you'll never be the same. And the world will consider you insane. Because you could never fathom anything else except what you saw. In fact, in Scripture, anytime an angel shows up to talk to somebody, they have to start by saying, don't be afraid. Translation, chill out. I'm not here to kill you. Because it is so uncommon in our natural brains to understand an angelic being that is sitting there that we would hit the ground. Even Daniel said, when the angel of the Lord showed up, I hit my face to the ground and wish I was dead. You freak out. He sees this presence of God, and it is majestic. It is huge, and he begins to realize something. This is important. Even though the world that he is from is messed up, even though the leaders and the king it be have messed it all up, God is still king. And he's beyond understanding in this realm. That he is so majestic that Isaiah is dumbfounded, and then he becomes undone. Right, a lot of us would like to think, if I could ask God a couple of questions, there's some answers I want. Like, why do the Cowboys lose in the first playoff game every year? Why is that? We think we would actually ask God something. Here's the thing, if God shows up, you don't want to talk. You're done. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, it's here. You're done. But here's the beauty of it. Isaiah comes undone because he realizes, well, I guess I'm going to die now. Because I see the glory, I see the King, and he is holy. And there's these angelic beings that are flying and just singing, and everything is shaking. I'm going to die because I have unclean lips, and I come from a people with unclean lips. Do you know who that includes? You and me. Because all of us can relate to unclean lips. And I know there may be some super spiritual people in here that go, Pastor Travis, I ain't never cussed before in my life. Praise the Lord. Well, if you said, dang it, it's the same thing. It's the heart from with which you say whatever word you choose. We have unclean lips. And here's the beauty of it. He's telling the truth. Isaiah, he should die. There's sin. He's before God. It's time to die. But look what an angel does. Grabs a coal from the altar. Flies down to Isaiah. If I'm Isaiah, I'm stricken. It's like, I think he's come to kill me because I deserve to die. But the angel touches his lips with the coal and listen to these important words. He says, see, this fire from the altar has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away because your sin is atoned for. Now, if you're a biblical historian and you like the Bible and the history of it, you'll realize that back in the day of the Old Testament, there's only one thing that could atone your sin at the altar, and that was the blood of an innocent animal. However, blood wasn't brought to Isaiah. This is the before the time of Christ. Instead of blood, there was a fire. And that fire is the Spirit of God. And look at what God says. This is, if you want to go deep with me, go deep with me. Here we go. God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? It's contradictory in our language. How can he say I and us in the same? And a lot of theologians would believe, well, he was talking to other people. The only thing that is recorded in this is that there's God talking to Isaiah. And he says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? This is the beauty of it. Before Jesus even showed up on the earth, there has always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was speaking to himself, and he was correct in saying, whom shall I send, us through your one, who will go for us? I don't know what you carry with you right now that keeps you from believing. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's a scar. Maybe it's a past issue in your life, an experience that you've had that keeps you from believing, but you need to take it to the altar. Yes, sir. But Pastor, I don't understand. Don't. Because if you expect to understand all that God does, you're going to be very frustrated. Because it doesn't make sense. However, I can introduce you to many people, including myself, who are not very intelligent, yet I can promise you God is real. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in some of your lives. There's nothing funnier than God moving in somebody's life and they deny it. I'll never forget, I had a guy that comes to this church and somebody really did something that I thought this guy's fixing to fight. Instead of him fighting, he was just like, hey, I'm not going to fight you. It's not who I am anymore. And he walks off, and I mean, I'm ready to break him up. And I was like, man, dude, that was amazing. You are changing. And he goes, don't, Pastor Travis. I don't believe in Jesus. And I went, well, you sure look just like him. You're not doing the same as you used to do. That, to me, is more proof than anybody standing up saying, I'm a Christian. Man, you can say it all you want, but is your life changed? And your life can't be changed unless you believe in Jesus. But, Pastor, I don't feel it. I'm not asking you to understand it by feeling. I'm asking you to understand it by faith. Faith is believing without the facts. Oh, but Pastor, I was all alone. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake me. You have a choice to either believe that or not. So notice what happens after he is cried out and he said, I'm a dead man. And the angel comes and touches his lips and God says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? The most important part of this scripture happens next. Isaiah says, doesn't say that. doesn't say that. But he says, here am I. You see, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people come to church to see God. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's more to it. People need to come to church so that God sees them. And they say, here am I. See, there has to come a point in a believer's life when it's no longer pursuing God for yourself, but it's pursuing God because you can't even believe he's allowing you to be a part of him. Yes. And you say, Lord, use me. However you want, any way you want. You see, I used to be that person, but it was a little bit different. I would say, Lord, here am I. Use me in every way that seems fit to me. Right? Lord, use me as long as everybody likes me, as long as there's a lot of money involved, in your name, of course, and as long as everything goes the way I want it to. Look at Isaiah. This is important. God says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I. And then God begins to tell him, I'm going to send you, and it's not going to be fun. You're going to go speak to these people, but they're not going to listen to you. You're going to go tell them the truth and they're going to hate you. You say, well, why would God do that? What's it to you to question God? Think about that. If Isaiah is looking at this, he's not going to be happy. People are not going to like him. But there's one thing Isaiah is willing to do because it's not about Isaiah. He's willing to be obedient. Guys, hear me now. Belief, true belief, is only followed by obedience. Many of us can say, I believe God, but we don't obey him. Forgive those that have hurt you. Nope, I believe you, Jesus, but I'm not doing that. Then you don't believe in Jesus. Can I get an amen on that one? That's hard. That's hard. But here at Refuge, we can't play games, right? It's a matter of life and death around here. Many of you got the scars to prove it. Many of us do. God wants you to be a part of what He is doing. Quit asking God to be a part of what you are doing. That's a false Christianity. Christianity is dying to self. And we call it, it's a huge word, sanctification. And I know that's a lot of people use it to talk about how spiritual they are. No. It's when you come to the realization, I can't believe God loves me. I can't believe He allows me to be a part of who He is. I bring nothing to the table, yet He sent His Son to die on the cross so that I can be where He is. And we have that opportunity, yet a lot of us in this country who call themselves Christians will only go as far as to agree with God and not believe. Well, Pastor, what does God want me to do? I can't tell you that. And it's not because I'm not a good pastor. Because I know a lot of pastors would say, well, here's what it looks like. Here's what I'm telling you. It's not for me to tell you. It's for you to go to God and find out. Here's what I know for me. Every day I don't have to go, Lord, what is your will? And then God sends me a text. I write it down, and it's a task. I got to complete it today. No, I simply say this, Lord, not me today. You. And I don't know what's coming today, but Lord, you're with me, and I am focused on you. And the only way I can do that is I got to take me out of it. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. And see, that's really uncommon for us as humans. You mean to deny self? Many of us want peace, but we're not willing to deny self. Many of us want love, but we're not willing to deny self. Many of us want joy, but not willing to deny self. And that's why we don't experience it. I'll give you an example. Have you ever hated somebody? I mean, hated them. Like if they showed up at the church today, you'd be sitting there going, Lord, have you delivered them into my hands? Right? And the reason why you hate them is because they hurt you. And they've hurt you, and I'm telling you, I'm not saying that they don't deserve your hate. But you hate them so much that you can't function if they're around. You can't even see the sun and the beautiful flowers because you can't stand the sight of them. And there's even times when they're not even around, but you think about them and boy, you get so mad. And you wonder why you don't experience joy. God says to forgive them. So you start working on it. And the only way you can do it is you have to let go of what you want. And you wake up that morning and you say, Lord, I forgive them. And all of a sudden you feel a little bit of peace. And you're like, right on. This is awesome. And then you think about them again and you're angry. So you have to do it again. And then you have to do it again. And eventually you're in this practice of dying to self every day on this one issue. And then pretty soon you really do start forgiving them. And then pretty soon you don't hate them. You actually have compassion for them. Because you realize if they hurt you, it's because there's some issues within them. And your prayer is no longer, Lord, may their brakes go out. But it is now, Lord, touch their heart. Amen. And then the joy comes and that weight is lifted off. Scar's still there, right? I mean, it's one of those things you're not going to go hang out with them, right? You're not going to let them abuse you anymore, right? But they no longer have control over you. And the funny thing is, they never did have control over you. You gave it to them. Because you chose to focus on hate and self instead of what Jesus said, forgive them and you'll be set free. And a lot of times we go, Lord, just set me free. I'm trying to. Trust me, believe me. For if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time as a people of God that call ourselves refugees. We call ourselves the church. Know this, you're not attending a church. We're a people. And we're a bunch of different people. Can I get an amen on that? Right. I mean, we all got so many labels in this room. Nobody knows who we are. And as pastors, we get it all the time. Well, tell us about your church. I don't know what to tell you. And we give them our tagline. Ready? I give them our tagline. I say, it can't be explained. It must be experienced. And what's so funny is when we say that, everybody's like, oh, that's really cool saying. No, I'm serious. And it's funny. We've had people come up to us and go, I don't know what it is about that church. In fact, we had one this last weekend tell us this at district assembly. And it was really unique. This person came up to us and goes, we love coming to the refuge whenever we can. And the whole thing was, I was hoping that he would say, that preaching, whew, man, that is cool. Or even better, when you play the drums, the Lord moves. No, he talked about you. He said, when we're in there, we're around people who labels they don't care about. Where they're actually there to see Jesus. They're there to feel his presence, and they're there to die to self. We enjoy coming. Man, may that be us. But may it not just be here. May we be it out there. May we be a people of God, the church, that walk and say, Lord, not me today, all of you. Lord, I give you everything. And whether it's a good day or a bad day, here am I. Send me. And let's see what God does. Oh, he'll do things that you're like, can't believe he did it. And you know what we would say? We can't either. Because you're a dipstick. We're all dipsticks, right? At Christmas time, a lot of people tell us refuge is a place for misfit toys. And we say, amen. Because God loves his misfit toys. And my desire, Pastor Allen, go ahead and come up, is simply this. Believe. Believe. Don't agree. Believe. Pastor Allen, go ahead and come up. May it be said of us, they may not have been the smartest, best looking. They may have not have had the most money, but there's one thing about them. They believed Jesus. Amen. 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 Pastor Allen.
Amen. Let's stand together. I invite you all to join us in prayer. So who do we pray to?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Father God, we do love you. Master, we celebrate who you are today. God, we celebrate your love for us. And Master, we say, here am I, God, with levels of fear, but send me. God, that we would be surrendered to your will and your way, that you would accomplish all that you have in mind, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Master, that is our desire. So use us, God. Use us as individuals. Use us as a body. Use us, God, as your people. So that you will be glorified, that all that we do will bring glory to your name. We thank you for that. So God, we ask that you would bless and keep this your people. Master, that you would cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious, God, to each of them and all of them. Turn again your countenance unto us, Lord. Let the peace that passes understanding, the peace of your spirit, be established in our homes and in our lives. God, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.